You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Sheila McLeod. Sheila's latest film is called Astronaut and follows the dreams and aspirations of the elderly man Angus, who desperately wants to go to space, so much so that he enters a contest hoping to be selected on the first commercial flight into the upper atmosphere. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Sheila about what it means to leave a legacy, our culture's dismissiveness of the elderly, and what it means to have another go. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm sitting in my car in a car park, so I hope you can hear me okay.
So am I. I hope you can hear me. Maybe we're in the same parking lot. I'll just come out and talk. No, I'm kidding.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Thank you for talking with me. This is great. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Astronaut is just lovely. It is such wonderful film. It was not what I expected. It was so much more beautiful than I thought it was going. That sounds weird to say, but I really mean that genuinely.
Steve, I love you already. Thank you so much.
It was touching. It was funny. It was beautiful. I was wondering, what is it that sparked that story in you, and what made you want to tell it?
My mom died in a nursing home in England a few years back, and I love my mom, and I used to visit her almost every day, and in the nursing home gardens, there was this old guy sitting in a wheelchair who was always staring up at the sky. And he would literally never come in. He would be out there for all hours. And one day I went and I sat next to him and I said, "What is it that you're looking for up there? What do you want?" And he said, "Another go." And I was very moved by this and started thinking about what had he wanted in his life that he hadn't achieved, what dreams had he had, what was on his bucket list. And, you know, it was moving because my mum died 5 months later and possibly he died fairly soon afterwards. And I realized that these guys, these men and women, were in a nursing home and that was going to be their last place, really. And I felt great guilt at putting my mum in a nursing home, but she was a pretty feisty woman, and she said it was fine, and that's what we did. And it was this terrible sort of yearning in me to write something about this elderly man. And I feel pretty passionately that the elderly are marginalized, and they're very overlooked, I think, in society. And I think that they should have a very important voice and be heard.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things about the film that was so fascinating, so beautiful, I should say, is there is this celebration of the elderly in the midst of almost of dismissiveness, you know, but they're shown with such life and vibrancy. Do you think that's a cultural-wide problem, that we dismiss the elderly, and why do you think that's the case?
It's a really interesting question. I mean, you know, we go to Spain a lot. I live in England, and my husband and my daughter go to Spain a lot. And I've noticed in Spain that the elderly, you know, are out there, as far as they can walk, no matter what age, they promenade, they sit, and promenade, I mean, you know, they walk down the street, have a coffee, they go out for evening. They're sort of more present. And I noticed that, you know, in London, it's just a fast, fast world. And I think we're all really, and I include myself in this, by the way, I'm no saint, impatient. We're impatient for things, we're impatient for life, we're impatient to move on, we're impatient for our ambitions to be realized. And I think that nurturing that an elder can give to a younger person or to society is actually something that we're really missing a trick here. I think that, you know, I know that in my 20s, which I was a typical troubled 20-year-old, you know, 20s is a funny age. And I would have loved, my dad died when he was 61 and my mum was still around, which was great. But, you know, just to have an elder saying, "Listen, it's going to be okay, because this is how it was for me," there's something that I think really can transcend the generations and give hope and guidance to us. And I think that would be great to see. And I think it's just our own impatience of what do, these old people. And it's harder and harder for old people too, because, you know, they've shut down the bank, for example, in my village I live in. And it was a bank that I used to very often go and do banking at, a tiny little bank. But, you know, I used to see old people in there putting in their savings or putting in some money, and they shut it down. And I thought that was part of the community. That was something that they did, you know, to talk to people and say, hello, how are you? And it just kind of got me mad, to be honest with you, Steve. And I thought, this can't go on. We've got to bring back the elderly, you know, the older voice.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love about this film, is it really allows them to sort of be lifted up. Even the ones who, you know, are not in the lottery, you know, they are friends. Just in the nursing home, it's interesting because in the nursing home, there seems to be this dichotomy amongst the lives of the people and almost the staff. The staff don't seem to realize in some way, you know, like Richard Dreyfuss is in there and he's talking about the lottery with his friends, and then they're, oh, is everything okay? And they sort of move. It is really interesting. They sort of almost blow past of what's really going on with them, but they're so alive, which I think is so
absolutely
beautiful.
I mean, and also, you know, in a nursing home, they're always, unfortunately, not through. I mean, my mum was in a great nursing home, and I was very lucky. We were all lucky as a family that she was well looked after, but they are notoriously understaffed. Mm. And, you know, the wonderful actress, Judy Marchette, who plays nurse, you know, imaginatively titled by me, made role by me, you know, then a role was called nurse. But she, you know, I talked to her about it, and it was a world that Judy knew well as well. And I said, they're so understaffed. They're running around answering the bells. They have no time to, you know, they can be very, very kind. These people, I didn't mean to be them to be intentionally cruel. It's just that they're run off their feet. They're busy, and they've got to get on with their routine. You know, they've got to get people bathed and washed and up and fed. And so, and I liked this idea that Angus was making friends, and through his excitement about entering the competition, he gathered this kind of band of brothers and sisters around him, like a tribe, and they went on the journey with him, and that appealed to me a lot.
Richard Dreyfuss, I mean, you've got a wonderful cast. I mean, you know, Graham Greene, Colm Feore, like everyone it is, I think, wonderful. But Richard Dreyfuss he's one of these actors who I don't feel like makes enough films anymore, because he's so good.
Well, no, I agree with you. I think he should be working on, I mean, you know, I think it's through choice. He picks and chooses his projects carefully, and as he should. He, my God, this man has earned it, hasn't he? I mean, he's earned accolades, and he's earned, and we were just so lucky to get him, really. I mean, you know, we almost fell off our chair when he said yes. I think Jessica Adams, my really clever young producer, and I were in a state of shock for about a week. We couldn't believe it. But he is an actor. He's a brilliant human being too. He really is, and he's a wonderful actor. And he just rose to the challenge. And he said to me, actually, you know, Sheila, this script is full of melancholy. And I said, well, yeah, it is, but the point is that he has that journey. You know, he goes from being depressed and looking at, you know, a telescope through the wrong lens, because that's the way society is generated. You know, we push them. We think, oh, they're old, they're done, they're history, they can't, you know, they can't drive anymore. The walls close in. Mm. But I said that, you know, he gets this wind, this second wind of, my God, this is a dream I've wanted all my life, and I've got to go after it now. And he just brought such life to Angus and such humanity and warmth to him.
Yeah, he's wonderful in it. And referencing what you said before, I was wondering what you think it means to have another go.
I guess what that old guy said was trying to say is, I want to be back in the game. I mean, I don't mean that, you know, he wants to run off to space, but I think he was looking back on his life, and maybe, I mean, this is in my head.
Sure, of course.
But looking back on his dreams and looking at those dreams, and they were literally vanishing like dust in front of him. And actually, you know, if I'd been braver or less of a coward, I would have said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go out for a, should I pop you in my car? We'll go out for a drive. Do you want to, where can I take you? You know, because you do, I did sort of want to collect them all up and drive off with them and go on an adventure with them, because we all know as human beings that you can feel really down about something, and it just takes one little instance to suddenly change that mindset and say, hey, things aren't so bad. And that's what we wanted to do with the film. You know, we know this film is not an edgy, hardcore look at an examination of old age. We know it's a slight fairy tale with magical realism in it, and we hope an element of glee. And we wanted the audience to come out feeling a little bit uplifted, and that things could be possible. Because I think, as human beings, we and I do it myself. I sense for myself and think, oh no, I can't possibly do that. And because you become infirm, you really then get shoved to the back of the queue, and you know, shoved to at the lower level of importance. And I think that maybe another go means don't forget me. Let me what I want to say, what I want to do, let it matter as much as a 20-year-old.
Is there anything that you think we can do to make sure that we do that? Like, how can we better show value to the elderly so that they do feel like they have those opportunities?
Well, it comes from everywhere. It comes from us not forgetting. It comes from us caring, and it comes from us shouting, I think. And we have to shout at the government. We have to shout at, you know, I live in England, the UK, and my God, you know, to try and get a parent or a grandparent into a good nursing home, it was a battle, and it was so expensive. But I, again, you know, I used my own experience in the film, but I wanted to do it with a light touch, because I didn't want to be banging over the head. I wanted it to be, you know, to be placed in a sort of fairly delicate way, but it was there. And I think, you know, it is really, and it's funny, because I've got lots of friends of mine whose parents of that age, or, you know, or younger friends of mine whose grandparents going, and then they ask me the journey. They go, well, what do we do? Because it's so confusing. And I said, yeah, it is. And imagine trying to do that as an old person. You know, imagine not knowing how to cope with technology, or not knowing. But another story, Steve, is that my brother worked in a bank for years and years and years. He was in PR, and a very big bank. And he said, when the millennium happened and the turn of the century happened, they called all the old guys in from retirement, and they brought them back into the bank, because they thought there was going to be a computer crash. They were just uncertain.
Wow.
And these old guys were the only ones that knew how to fix the machine, because they were the ones that had programmed them in the first place. And I use that in the film, but it's just an example of how valuable an elder can be in society still.
Just as we start to wrap up here, I know we're running out of time, but the film is very conscious of time. Speaking of time, you know, Angus walks around with his pocket watch, and he's always got it with him. He's very conscious of the time he has left. I was wondering, what would you think Angus would want to be known for as his life as he gets older?
I think he probably would have wanted, in his way, to have felt that he's left some worth behind, that his knowledge of, you know, saving the day for the space plane was something of value, and that he would have perhaps left some traces of hope with the remaining residents of the nursing home, and that, you know, I think his fight to go becomes a fight to get these space guys to listen. And I suppose his legacy would be to say, look, don't forget us, listen to us. Because, you know, you may think we're old goats, but we're, you know, old men and women, but we're not. We know the problems. We know what can happen. And you're not listening to us. So maybe his legacy would be, please listen to us.
It's in theaters on Friday?
Yes, on Friday. Yes, it's in theaters on Friday. And, I mean, it would be great if you could give a lovely shout-out for the film, because we would love people to come. And we'll be there in Toronto on Friday night. I think it's a 7 o'clock screening. It looks like it's getting pretty busy there. But, you know, it's on all week, and it's showing in cities across America, too. I think it's also showing in Vancouver. So anybody who wants to go see Astronaut, we'd love it, because we're there in spirit, at least, if not in person.
I mean this genuinely when I say it. It is just a beautiful film. It is lovely. I adored it. And thank you, Sheila, so much for not only for...
That means an awful lot.
Yeah, I thank you not only for speaking with me, but honestly for making the film, because I thought it was just a beautiful story. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, pleasure. It was an absolute delight to speak to you.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Get out of that hot car park.
You too. Thanks, Sheila.
All right. See ya. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.